By the powers of the spirits of the East, who bring light, humor, and clarity, we call to the witches. By the powers of the spirits of the South, who bring protection, passion, and courage, we call to the witches. By the powers of the spirits of the West, who bring harmony, strength, and healing, we call to the witches. By the powers of the spirits of the North, who bring abundance, growth, and peace, we call to the witches.
Desert Jen
and Obsidian Musette Sage,
here to share our knowledge with you on all things witchcraft.
Welcome to the Crones of the Wild Wastelands.
Welcome to another episode of Crones of the Wild Wasteland. Desert Jen is still on sabbatical, so today you've got me, Obsidian Musette Sage, and Descendants. My daughter Pan and her husband Dimitri are here today to explore the different paths and tradition of witches as we continue our beginner witch series.
Sure are, Mom. We've got some pretty detailed info on the ways of the witches.
Yeah, maybe our listeners will hear something that strikes a chord with them and leads them to discover what path they might be seeking.
That would be awesome, guys. I hope we can help our audience to discover something about their craft today. But before we start, I pulled a tarot card for today. Today's card is the Two of Crystals in reverse, pulled from my new Spirit Song Tarot, which, by the way, is gorgeous if anybody out there wants to check it out. Today's card is about loss of balance and being a little bit overwhelmed. And this card speaks to the three of us personally. We're each going through some separate situations that have knocked us off balance, and now we're all kind of feeling a little stressed about it. So, but don't worry, we're on top of our game today. We're here for you. We got this covered. So, we're going to talk about types of traditional witches. These are some, but not all, I'm sure, types of witches.
Very sure. I feel like we might be missing a few.
This list is intended to help you identify and discuss the types of witches you may encounter, and also help you figure out which type you think you may be or become. You might end up being a hedge witch, or a kitchen witch, or an eclectic witch. Who knows? You'll figure it out when the time is right. There's no rush. So, here's a really great quote about witches. At heart, we are all powerful, beautiful, and capable of changing the world with our bare hands. And that's no matter what type of witch you are.
That's very true. It's also quite a fantastic quote to just take a second
and take it in.
Yeah.
And that's for male and female witches alike. It goes for everybody who's a witch. We can change the world with our bare hands. And I think that's amazing.
I totally agree, Obsidia. That is pretty cool. So now on to our first type of witch that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the augury witch. An augury witch is very similar to a shaman in practice, and they help to direct those on the spiritual quest by interpreting the signs and symbols that the person may encounter. The term augury witch derives from the official Roman augurs, the function of which was to interpret the signs or omens to see if the gods approved of the course of actions. But don't be fooled, these are not fortune tellers. These are gifts of prophecy and not divination.
So the ceremonial witch happens to be combined witchcraft and ceremonial magic. It's more spiritually centered than ceremonial. Ceremonial, very exact in ritual and ceremony, uses disciplines drawn from the old ways and incorporates scientific approaches such as sacred mathematics or quantum mysticism.
Yep,
got it. Thank you. And leans towards...
No. Archetypal.
Figures.
Right. So they would lean more towards your archetypes. Okay, so now we're going to talk about the cosmic witch, the astro witch, which is an umbrella term for all those who use celestial or planetary magic. Some of them work with deities. Some believe that the divine lies within the cosmic energies. Some are not theistic at all, but only work with planets and celestial bodies. So they'll read the zodiac, they'll read the positions of the planets, that sort of thing. They incorporate astrology and astronomy into their witchcraft. So they coordinate their spells with the locations of the celestial bodies. So a lot of times witches will use moon phases to write their spells. You know, which is the best phase of the moon to write a spell. Cosmic witches and astral witches will use the positions of the planetary bodies and the celestial bodies to write their spells instead.
That's so cool.
Isn't that cool?
It is. I had no idea that you could do something like that.
And we know somebody that I think would be really good at that.
Oh, yeah.
We do. I have another child. Believe it or not, I do. And I think she would be very good at that. I think she could totally be down with that.
I agree. I think that would be a good fit for her.
And then we come to this this next particular witch I find that I identify with. And I know I've said that I identify as a gray witch, but I hadn't come across this definition before, and I think I'm going to change my identification. So this is it. Crossroads witch. A crossroads witch is a mother symbol. She represents the intersections of positive, neutral, and negative forces. She goes through flux and change. The crossroad witches are said to stand at the Hecatian crossroads, neither embracing light or dark, and making no judgment or excuses for action or manifestations of their magic.
So, kind of still like a gray witch, but different at the same time.
It's very similar to a gray witch, yes. I think it's just maybe more of a formal term for a gray witch. Because I do believe that I stand at that crossroad. I'm not afraid to use darker magic. And I use the lighter magic too. So, you know, I'm right there in the middle. And I think that this suits me just fine.
I think it does.
Well, thank you for your approval. Oh, yeah. I appreciate that.
Of course.
All right. Moving on.
Not that you needed it.
All right.
So another kind is the cunning folk. Practitioners of folk magic in medieval Britain. Magical protections and charms, which... it's fantastic. Herbal remedies, divination, casting spells, and hex breaking all happen to be things that are encompassed in this.
Did you say herbal?
Yes, he did.
Is he really my son? He said herbal.
Yeah, I've been yelling at him for years about it.
Look, okay, I'm adopted.
On. Okay, moving on. Moving on.
The next type of witch we have are the cyber witches and techno witches. These are the internet and computer witches who focus on cybermancy and technomancy. They do their magic based on computer technology. It's a very controversial type of witch, and it's very similarly related to chaos magic.
This is like a new thing.
Right.
Obviously, it's a newer version of witches. Back in my day, these didn't exist. Because I'm old. But, you know, I could totally see where this could be a thing now.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Especially with online covens. You know, this is a thing.
That's very true, especially with media forms such as TikTok.
Right. This is a thing. Okay.
You know, we were taught so much about internet safety growing up that I don't know if I would believe someone if they told me they were a cyber witch. Like, I don't know if I would believe that they actually practice witchcraft. I don't know.
Right.
I don't mean to be like, I'm not saying that you can't be a cyber witch or that it's wrong. I'm just saying I don't know how much I would put my faith in one.
Right. And I get that, because as children, you are taught to be careful of trolls, and you're taught to be careful of certain types of... you're taught to be careful of predators online, and this could definitely come under that category, so you'd have to be a little skeptical when coming up to this. And I do need to make a little side note here. You guys are hearing my voice crack, I'm sure. This is a side effect of my MS. Sometimes when I'm in a flare, I get a little hoarse and my voice cracks and yada yada. And I'm trying to drink some water so this doesn't happen as often, but you're going to be hearing it for the whole episode. And then we have Dimitri with his stuff. So you're just going to get a whole earful today. And Pan's just going to try to just roll with it. So
I'm trying really hard not to sneeze, if that helps.
Okay. Well, we all have our thing today.
Yeah, we do.
That's what the card was about.
No.
All right. An eclectic witch is a witch that picks and chooses from many different traditions to form a path that fits their individual needs. This witch does not follow a particular religion or tradition, and this witch relies on different cultures, beliefs, and systems to formulate their own practice, which can change and evolve over time. many witches are eclectic witches. I mean, you will meet so many witches that just identify as eclectic because they might take something from the Greeks or the Norse or the Celtic or the African tribes, or maybe it's a hoodoo tribe or hoodoo witch, or, you know, they just take them from everywhere and they meld it into their own particular practice and write their own grimoires of their own spells that they've created. And I think it's an amazing thing to do.
Oh, it definitely is. But I've also noticed most witches are just eclectic people. So that might have something to do with it.
Moving on from there, we have our elemental witch. Do you want to tell us about that, Dimitri?
Of course. So based on the four elements, which are earth, water, fire, and air, they honor each element that they use, and they use the elements to draw power into magic by focusing on the qualities of each element. You may find that one element speaks to a witch more than others.
And we have details about each element witch. So we have the air element, which is the east. They're high and active. They have a lot of, they work with the mind, inspiration, and imagination. They're all about new life, new possibility. The air witch is related to communication, wisdom, powers of the mind. They are really big into freedom, finding what is lost, travel, new business ventures, and occult arts.
That's interesting. Moving on, we have our earth element witch, which is called the wild witch. Those, which direction is?
Earth is the north.
So our earth element witches are the witches of the north, and they have a deep reverence for Mother Earth. They celebrate the phases of the moon and the different seasons. They heal illnesses of the body and mind and take part in midwifery. They're very big into their pets and wildlife and native animals, and they prefer to live in the country. The city can be very spiritually and physically draining for them. They also use and look for natural tools for their divination, share their home with the Fae, and they have a vast amount of knowledge and wisdom to pass on.
The fire element witch, or the solar witch, which is...
You know better.
I did. I had second-guessed myself. Anyways.
My short-term memory's too short.
The solar witch happens to be rebels, which are very big in individuality. They're very poetic, tragic, and creative, as most fire is. They constantly process new growth in their magic in life, and magic centered on power of the seasons, of the solar year, candles, bonfires, lava, pretty much anything that could start a fire or burn down your ex's home.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'll try that next time I have an ex, which hopefully it'll never happen.
You know, I'm still hoping for some lava, really.
That'd be kind of cool.
It would be.
So the last element witch would be a water element witch, which is a sea witch, and that would be the direction of the west. So the sea witches have a magical bond with water and weather. They align with all states of water, including rain, fog, snow, and ice. They connect with holy wells and sacred bathing spots. The moon is very important to the sea witches. It rules over tidal waters, and witches are instrumental in moon lodges and coming-of-age practices. Sea witches are often called upon for dowsing, and they are often called upon for rain.
All right.
Those are the element witches.
I learned a few new things.
Yeah.
All right. So to take it from there, moving on from the element witches, we have a fairy witch, which is a type of eclectic witch. They usually commune with the fae and the nature spirits, and there's no organization or tradition in their witchcraft. But we do have a quote for you about the fairy witches, and that is, "Come, fairies, take me out of this dull world, for I would ride with you upon the wind and dance upon the mountains like a flame."
That is W.B. Yeats. Very lovely. I love that quote. I wouldn't want to dance upon the mountains like a flame.
I feel like it'd be hard to find someone who doesn't.
I just want to take a nap.
Never mind.
The next type of witch is a folk witch, or often called a granny witch. This type of witch practices folk magic of ancestors of their certain area. So you're not going to find a granny witch that knows all of the answers for everything. They're going to know the answers for their particular location, their people. They blend their ancient knowledge of earth, nature energies, planetary forces, rituals, healing and herbal remedies, religious and superstitious beliefs, and a wide range of all their regional custom practices. They're knowledgeable of the spirits of the land of their area, and they're knowledgeable of the customs and the folklore of their regions. So like I said, you're not going to find these witches that know everything about all the land and all the people. They're just going to be local witches. Like the little lady, you know, the little cottage in the woods that you go to, and the lady who's out there, you know, tending her little garden, that's your granny witch.
Oh, okay. So the nicer version of Hansel and Gretel.
Yes.
Okay. Got it. The Green Witch focuses on natural items and places. They achieve magic through communication with Mother Nature and her energies. They practice in fields and forests to be closer to the divine spirit. They make tools from natural materials. A floral witch works primarily with floral materials and flowers. And a herbal witch...
Thank you!
...works with herbs.
You did it, son!
I did, and I was very proud.
So if you mix a green witch and a granny witch, you get the witches that dance naked in the forest and heal all the sinners.
Yes, that's what you get. That'd be, you know, right. I would like a forest to dance naked in.
Exactly.
We don't have forests where we live. No, the wasteland does not have a forest.
I don't want a forest. I like trees, but I don't like forests. There's too many murders.
That's because you read about serial killers every day. You know, they don't have to have serial killers in the forests.
Okay, not just serial killers, though. Just average 16-year-old murdering girls.
There doesn't have to happen, though. Not in every forest. Maybe just every other forest.
Every other forest? Maybe every third forest.
Right?
You just gotta pick the right one.
Just read the signs. You know, the sign in the front of the forest will say, this forest is nasty. Don't enter. You gotta go to the next one.
All right. Well, moving on from that note, we have the Hearth Witch, which is the kitchen and the cottage witch. And
That's Desert Gem. Totally Desert Gem.
That's also me as well.
Definitely.
And cool. A hearth witch is a witch that focuses practice on home and hearth, and they use tools most commonly found in the kitchen. They also integrate witchcraft into any or all aspects of their homemaking activities. For example, making a meal and serving a meal is a ritual in and of itself. But also, this is the part that suits me the most, is that the crafty witches weave magic into their handicrafts.
That is totally you. Totally you. She has got more hobbies than she knows what to do with.
That's accurate.
It's very accurate. But she puts so many good intentions and love and everything into every craft she makes. And the crafts that she gives to people mean so much. It's really awesome.
You can definitely feel the magic racing through it.
Definitely. So the next witch is called a hedge witch. I'm going to read you a little poem about hedge witches. The hedge witch, walk between worlds of shadow and light, the wise woman in spirit flight. O ye witches of old, beyond the hedge, pierce the veil and walk the edge. With herbs and potions that comfort and heal, come together and turn the wheel. The hedge witch works with liminal, which means both on both sides of a boundary, works with liminal spaces in the spirit realm. Previously, a hedge would mark the boundary of a village or a settlement. Now it represents a boundary between the physical and spirit worlds. That's where a hedge witch works. That is, a hedge witch is somebody who would help soul cross from one world to the next.
I guess depending on how you look at it, a hedge witch could be seen as a type of chaos witch in a way. Because they work with the veil and they work with the spirits.
I don't see that as chaos. Chaos, to me, is unpredictable magic.
Okay, that and makes
to
sense.
To me, I mean, working with the veil can be unpredictable, yes. But I don't see hedge witches as using unpredictable magic. To me, they know what they're doing.
Can it get chaotic working in the in-between area?
I'm sure it can, yeah. I mean, I've astral traveled there. And if you don't know what you're doing, which I didn't, it can get scary, and yeah, it can get unpredictable, but the more you go and the more you learn, you just have to know what you're looking out for. And I'm not great at it. I still struggle sometimes when I don't do it often because it can be scary.
You want like an example of the chaos meeting the hedge witch? It's like that scene from the it's not The Nun, but the Conjuring movies where they the little boy travels off and he has to find his way back?
Insidious?
Insidious, that's what it was. It's like that.
Okay.
For all you horror movie buffs out there, that's what it is.
So, a hereditary witch is a witch who has been taught the old ways as a tradition passed down through generations of their family. Just because someone is born into the family does not make them a witch. They must make the conscious decision to accept the craft. It does not make the witch more knowledgeable or powerful than a non-hereditary witch.
And I think that's important to note, because you do get some very judgy hereditary witches that will say, well, I was born into it, I'm a hereditary witch, therefore I am better than somebody else. I'm not saying all hereditary witches are like that. Please don't put words in my mouth, because they're not all like that. But I've run into hereditary witches like that. And they can sometimes get a chip on their shoulder if they have the wrong attitude, which I hate to see. And that's why I'm not making generalizations. I'm just saying there are some. But
I mean,
it's important to note for everybody. And not all hereditary witches are like that. And not all hereditary witches are better than anybody else.
That makes sense. It's almost like just nobody being better than anybody else on a general.
Right. It's all about your knowledge base. It's all about where you come from as far as knowledge goes. Just because you were born into it doesn't mean you know it all, because you don't. You have to work at it just like everybody else.
Exactly. And that being said, another one you have to work towards if you want it is being a hex witch or an anger witch. And a hex witch utilizes aggressive magic. They utilize their anger, aggression, and hatred to fuel their magic. It's a very controversial type of witchcraft, and it's primarily employed for curses and hexes. They also refer to it as wrath magic or wrathcraft because it is so fueled by anger.
But, you know, anybody who's ever done a hex has dabbled in being a hex witch. I mean, if you're ever angry enough to hex somebody, then you've been a hex witch before.
That's very true.
But then if you make it your regular practice, that's when you have that identification. Just make it up. A lunar witch is a moon witch. And it's a witch who follows the cycles of the moon, like the name would imply. A lunar witch is very in tune with the moon and natural cycles and rhythms of the moon. So I would think that many witches could also identify as lunar witches, because there's many witches out there, except for the cosmic witches follow the planetary bodies and the celestial bodies, whereas many other witches follow the moon. So most witches are probably lunar witches as well.
Or you have been at some point.
I have been at some point.
So, the next witch is the Red Witch, which is also the Mind Witch. And shout out to Marvel for kind of, sort of getting this one right in The Avengers. They are witches who specialize in the art of deception. They're very good at hiding themselves or things that they want to conceal, and they can tell if others are lying and can see through deception.
Cool.
It is.
I'm glad it makes you feel good.
It does. It makes me happy to learn things.
A secular witch is a witch who practices secular or non-theistic, non-religious approaches to the craft. We know a secular witch.
That'd be me, if you were wondering.
Yes, that would be Pan. She uses a non-theistic approach with her magic, which is to each their own. She does not believe in the religious part of it. She's more spiritual, and that's all right.
It is.
We love her anyway. It's all good.
Sometimes. Sometimes she's a pain in my rear end.
You're still required to love me. You chose me.
I did.
I think you dragged him kicking and screaming down the aisle. I'm just kidding. I'm
pretty sure she was late.
That would have been my fault. No, I'm just kidding.
Actually, it was not your fault. A shaman, moving on from there, has a relationship with the spirit in all things. They use the information and guidance from non-ordinary reality to intentionally form their own life and experiences.
I'm not that familiar with shamanism. I'm not exactly sure exactly how it works. I don't know too much about it.
That's like an ancient type of magic.
It really is. It's one of those ones that have been like shrouded in mystery because it's very hereditary almost. It's passed down through
You're either a shaman or you know nothing.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, then that would explain why I really don't know much.
So, a solitary witch, I'm just a hermit. A solitary witch is someone who practices alone without a family or a group. Does not follow any particular tradition.
So that about does it for the types of witches. Now we're going to talk about traditions of witchcraft. The difference between traditions and paths are traditions are practices that predate the Gardnerian Wicca in origin. So Gardnerian Wicca was created in the 1950s by Gerald Gardner. These are all types of witchcraft that happened or that were brought about before that time.
All right. So the first type of tradition we're going to talk about is the African tradition. The African tradition has three different types of practitioners. And the first one of that is...
Go ahead and butcher it. It's okay.
The Kapi? It's the malevolent practitioner who operates in secret to harm others. So I guess they could be considered kind of like a head witch if you put them... Or a hex witch if you put them together.
Yeah, I guess so.
The next one is the Sangoma, who is usually female. They're a diviner akin to a fortune teller. They predict the future or identify the guilty parties in crimes. And the last one is an Inyanga, who is exclusively male, and they are the doctor of the tribe. They each train his son so information is passed down from generation to generation.
It's maybe like a shaman there.
Maybe, yes. Exactly. But moving on, there is also, in the African tradition, the Santera.
Nope, Santeria.
Santeria, which is the popular religious movement that combines the African and Roman Catholic religions. Then we have the Udun, and they are incorrectly associated with witchcraft. Their originally African faith now practices in the Caribbean and the southern U.S., they combine Roman Catholic ritual with traditional African magical and religious rites. They're categorized by sorcery and spirit possession. And the difference between the Vodun and witchcraft is spiritual. Witchcraft is spiritual, Vodun is true religion.
We had mentioned that these traditions predate the Gardnerian Wicca. Well, one of these traditions is called Alexandrian witches, which... is similar to Gardnerian, but it's more based on ceremonial magic. They have a formalized belief system that incorporates ceremonial magic as well as the Kabbalah. They focus on the polarity between the genders, and it was started by Alex Sanders in, I believe, the 21st century. I could be wrong on that, but I believe it was 21st century.
Oh, wow.
So...
One of the next traditions is the Appalachian Granny tradition. It is old world magical traditions combined with the Cherokee tribe tradition.
So it's very similar to a granny witch, only the tradition itself is specific to the Cherokee tribe.
Right. Then we've got hoodoo traditions, which are created by African American slaves in the New World. These are a blend of West African, American Indian, and European ceremonial traditional. And I believe that hoodoo and voodoo get mixed up and mistaken for each other very frequently. So it's important to note there is a difference.
I know that they do often get used interchangeably. I didn't know there was a specific thing.
If there's a difference.
All right. Well, moving on from there, we have the powwow tradition, which is the vision seeker. And they have the shamanic rituals combined with the traditional medicines. Those are usually accompanied by prayers, incantations, songs, and dances.
The reason I'm asking Dimitri this question is he was raised on the colony of one of our local tribes. And I'm asking, have you ever been to a powwow up there?
I have. They are one of the few places where you can actually feel... everybody's energy radiating off of, like, the acting shaman or the elders, and everything is happening, and when you leave, you feel, like, 10 times better than what you went in. You probably cried at some point, and you got lost in all the shiny little dance outfits that they wear to represent the different natures and gods that they're worshipping.
I'd really love to experience that sometime.
It's a beautiful thing, and our local colony holds one at least once a year.
For the public?
Always.
Really, huh? I'll have to look into that. Because I would love to go.
That just sounds like hell for someone with social anxiety, though.
And I guess it would be really cool.
It really is. And it's truthfully not that bad on the anxiety. And you can get up and participate in some of the dances if you know what you're doing.
I think with the energy levels in there, Pan, probably, like, cancels out your anxiety.
It would be a very draining experience for an empath, though.
It would be.
Oh, yeah. It would be.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, well, moving on, why don't you tell us about the Asian tradition next, Dimitri?
They're also shamanistic. They're centered on the relationship between witch and animal spirits or familiars, and I personally don't believe that I've ever experienced a familiar, but I know that you have, Obsidia.
I have. I've had two in my lifetime. My first one was my Kitty Lou. She was my German Shepherd wolf mixed dog. She was a 130-pound dog, most beautiful girl in the world, and she was my familiar, and she was my bestest friend in the whole wide world. She left us a few years ago. And I now have another familiar, and her name is Zena Marie. And I didn't think her and I would have a good relationship when we got her. I knew I liked her and everything else, but she kind of brought herself known to me one night when I was really upset. I was having a really hard time, and I was trying to ground. And she came up to me, and I put my hand on her fur, and it was like I could feel her pure, innocent energy just coming through me saying, Mom, let me help you. I'm here to help you. Let me just help you, Mom. That's my job. Let me help you. And I knew right then and there she was my familiar. And don't get me wrong, she's a pain in my ass.
Oh, yeah.
She's a royal pain in my ass. But I love her dearly. And she is... We had even tossed around the idea of rehoming her because she's such a royal pain in the butt. I just couldn't bring myself to do it. She is my girl. And every time I'm doing tarot or pendulum or anything like that, she is right next to me. She wants to be involved in the magic. She's a good girl. She's a good girl. So when a familiar finds you and you don't find them, they find you, it's a very special experience.
You know, about 6 months ago, Dimitri and I decided to take in a senior cat at a shelter because I wanted to give him a home for as long as we could. And I believe that he was my familiar and he was brought and I was meant to take him home.
I think so too, Pan. And you did. You gave him such a loving home while he was here with you. You did. You guys gave him a very loving home.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You put up with a lot from him. He was an older, sick cat and he needed lots of TLC and you guys gave that to him. And I know it was hard to handle him with all his problems, but you guys stuck through it, and you did. And he had a best home he could ever ask for with you guys.
Oh, yeah. And it was weird, because being an outsider for the whole situation, he gravitated to her the second we walked through the door. And it was just so strange to
see. Isn't that strange to see?
Because there was like, I want to say there was about three of us in the room for a good amount of time, and he wanted nobody but her.
Every single day when I would come home, I would sit down on the bed, and he would come up, and we would sit together. Every single time I came home, it didn't matter if it was for 2 minutes or if I was home for the day, he would come sit with me.
And when a familiar finds you, it's very hard to not having one when they're gone. It's because they're part of your daily life. And it's very difficult to go from having that to not having it at all. The next tradition we're going to talk about is the Australian Aboriginal tradition. The Aboriginal elders were labeled witches by Christian missionaries. They weren't really witches per se. It was the female practice of love magic based on empowering links with homeland shared by everyone. So it wasn't really, it's basically they loved where they were. And everybody shared this love of their homeland. And they based their tradition, they based their culture off that. And the Christians came along and said, oh, you Aborigines are witches because you have this together. That's not okay, but okay. Anyway, next one. Moving on.
The next one is the Baltic tradition. These are the old ways that are often also aligned with shamanistic influences. And the term for witch, in not a positive sense in the Baltic tradition, is ragana. I'm not sure what that means aside for the word witch, but it is said that it's not positive. Do you know why that is?
You know, I'm not sure. I don't have a lot of information on some of these traditions. When I was researching, I did not grab a whole lot because we have so many to go through. So I just kind of went through, you know, grabbed a little bit on each one. So no, I did not do a lot of research on why that wasn't a good term. It just jumped out at me, so I wrote it down.
Well, all right then.
Traditional English witches practice solitary forms of witchcraft, drawing on mixes of beliefs and rituals from myths and religious pre-Roman tribes and cultures. They also happen to draw energy of the homeland.
And these traditional English witches are the ones you would think about, kind of like Salem.
Oh, okay.
Type witches.
Okay.
Only in Britain. Next we have Bruja, which is a Latin American tradition. It's folk magic. It involves charms, love spells, curses, hexes, divination. It was rooted in folklore, traditional herbalism, and Catholicism. I have a quote about the Bruja. The darkness in a woman is such that, stripped of our sight, we must feel our way through it. We crawl, we enter her circles of hell until we sympathize with her sorrow, until we learn from her rage. This is a quote from Segovia Emile.
That's a very powerful quote.
Yeah, it is. And I really dig it, because sometimes we do have to crawl through hell until we can understand somebody.
This seems like a very deeper version of Hell Hath No Fury, like a woman scorned.
Very true. Very true, it is.
I don't know why, but for some reason all I can think of when I hear the word Bruja is supernatural. I know that's unrelated, but I don't know.
I think they have an episode about a Bruja.
I think that's what I'm thinking about. I think probably. I don't remember a lot of supernatural, but I remember that.
Well, you know, supernatural is a farce, because they come up with all kinds of these, you know, they find these terms floating all over the pagan folklore and stuff, and they come in and they make an episode all about it, and it's all wrong, like Samhain. Samhain is not how you say the word. It's Samhain.
I knew that we'd get there.
Yes, we would get there someday. It is not Samhain. And they also have...
Somebody should tell that to Dr. Reed on Criminal Minds, then. Right?
It's a pet peeve of mine with all of television and movies.
Yeah, I agree.
And there's also... Supernatural has also done multiple episodes where they've trashed other things of pagan descent, and it really pisses me off. But I digress. So... Somebody tell us about the Celtic traditions, because this is super cool.
All right, the Celtic and Irish traditions.
They happen to be popular traditions, eclectic and hold to ancient Celtic myths.
Divinities.
Thank you. And magic. Practitioners of the elements, ancient ones in nature, passion for ritual and belief in fae. I don't really know much about fae. If I'm being honest.
Fae is the fairies.
I know. I don't know quite a lot about them. I know that they're pesky.
The only thing that I know about the fae is probably, honestly, nothing accurate. All I know about the fae is what's in Fablehaven.
I knew you were going to say that.
Basically, don't piss off the fae.
Yeah.
You just need to know, don't piss off the fae. You can work with them and stuff, just don't piss them off.
I feel like that's like the number one warning you get in...
Witchcraft 101? Yeah, exactly. Don't piss off the fae. No, Celtic tradition is very popular, very popular. And my personal patron goddess is a Celtic goddess. And I am Celtic of descent. Of Celtic descent. That was not grammatically correct. So I do a lot of Celtic stuff. A lot of what I've taught you guys is Celtic origin. Rituals and stuff like that. So, it's pretty cool. It's actually a really cool tradition to follow. It's important to know where you're coming from with it, though.
It's also important to note that, no, it is not all leprechauns.
No.
Damn it.
It's not all leprechauns.
Look, as long as they have a burning wheel somewhere.
And there's no rainbows and pots of gold and, you know, that I wish. I really wish I could find a rainbow with a pot of gold.
This is starting to sound a little less cool.
Right?
Did you know you can capture a leprechaun by grabbing his beard?
Anyways.
Alright, moving on to the Cornish tradition. This is a folk tradition and the mythology of Cornwall, Southwest England. It was developed by Cornwall and the people of Wales, Ireland, and Brittany. There's charms, rituals, and gestures with muttered incantations, as well as it being an ancient tradition, it is an annual pilgrimage to the Cornish rich of repute for having protection renewed in spring. This is when the sun is returning and the witch has more power to protect them from bad luck than in any other season. It is often mistaken for the cunning folk.
The witch that they're going to, she's often mistaken for the cunning. Cunning craft traditions are practitioners of folk magic from the medieval to the early 20th century. They heal the sick, they have protection from supernatural threats, and they have been replaced by modern medicine. So this is where it all began, was the cunning folk, the cunning craft. That's where modern medicine learned it all from.
That's kind of interesting. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, that's where
it all had to start somewhere. Aspirin came from.
Puts alchemy in a whole new light. It's fantastic.
St. John's wort. Who do you think learned how to use it first? Yep. Cunning folk.
It all had to start somewhere.
Yep, sure did.
All right. Well, moving on, we have the Dianic tradition, which is celebrated, which means we celebrate divine feminine. It honors the goddess Diana, and there is no male counterpart.
It is a very, very feminist movement. Actually, more modern Dianic traditions are now opening up to, it used to be that you had to be anatomically female, and that was that. There was no trans, there was no gay, there was no nothing. If you weren't anatomically female, you weren't getting in. And now they've opened it up and they're recognizing other genders and other identities and stuff like that. So
that's amazing.
Yes.
I love that something so rooted in that grew from such a rich history is able to molt and shed and mold.
You know, if the very strict Dianic tradition can start accepting trans women into their group, then we shouldn't have to punish parents for being the parents of trans children. But let's not delve into that.
No. That's another topic for another show.
It is.
Well, actually, that probably should not be a topic on our show at any point.
Well, that actually probably will at some point. We'll have to bring it up, but not today. How's that?
All right. So tell us about the Draconic tradition, Dimitri.
So I have been itching to tell you guys about this, mainly because I find it fascinating. I think I have a new tradition. They utilize powers of the dragon. The dragon guides the guardians to work alongside the witches. They offer wisdom, protection, and strength. It calls for a lot of self-discipline, strength, and courage to seek knowledge alone. And we actually happen to have a fantastic little quote about this tradition that says, "Do not meddle in the affairs of dragons, for you are crunchy and good with ketchup."
Yep.
Fair point.
Fair point. Look, don't screw with the dragons.
Exactly.
Don't screw with the fae, don't screw with the dragons.
Witchcraft 101, guys. The Egyptians are the Kemetic tradition. These are not common practice anymore. They're a variation of Wicca. It's a variation of Wicca that includes the Egyptian deities. This is not the same as the practice of the ancient Egyptians. The spiritual path from Egypt is called Kemeticism. It's centered on the afterlife. It's ensuring the safety and success of souls after death. And healing magic is also common. So this is where we're talking about the pyramids, how they would prepare their dead to be successful in the afterlife. That's Kemeticism. When you're talking about honoring in Wicca, honoring like Ra or Bast or any of those, that's Wiccan traditions. That's not,
you know, I find the Egyptian. Kemetic traditions fascinating. Like, I had to study one single tradition, it would probably be the Egyptian traditions.
Right. It's so super fascinating. Like, how they, with the jars of things that they left for them to have when they woke, you know, that kind of
thing. Right. And I was never a history kid. I mean, I could care less about history, if I'm being honest with you, but the Egyptian part of history, I always paid attention to.
Yep.
Always. Egyptians and the Greeks.
See, I was a history kid, and this still fascinates me. But if I had the ability to, I would want to, like, go back in time to actually be able to meet with them and get to learn the knowledge of it, because I feel like this is one that's been lost in the sands of time.
Well, all we have are the hieroglyphics to tell us. What if we're reading them wrong?
You know,
anybody ever think of that?
Looking at hieroglyphics, though, it makes you wonder if the Egyptians ever actually saw a cat.
Okay. Familiar hereditary traditions. This is when you're born into witchcraft due to an ancestral link, not necessarily biologically inherited. So your beliefs and practices are handed down from generation to generation.
All right, well, we talked a bit about that earlier as a type of witch as well, so those go pretty hand in hand.
But these are not necessarily biologically inherited.
That's true. So an example of this tradition could be that Dimitri didn't know a whole lot about paganism when he moved into our home and we taught him, and now he identifies as a witch underneath you. And yes, he's not biologically your child.
Right, so he'd be under this ancestral link. You guys go on to have children or whatever, and or he passes it along to somebody else. Then it's the witch family, it's not the biological family.
All right, well, moving on, we now have the Gardnerian witch that we talked about earlier. And the Gardnerian witch follows the belief system of Wicca, which was originally created by Gerald Gardner in the 1950s, hence the name Gardnerian witch. This system was a hierarchical system with the high priest and priestess and various initiations.
So basically, you had your high priest, you had your high priestess, then you had different degrees of witches within the coven. First degree, second degree, third degree. And you had to study, and you had to earn your degrees.
That sounds very cultish.
That's kind of like...
It kind of is.
But at the same time, it's also kind of like the same dedication you need to become a chess master.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And when you've got so much information, I would much rather have ranks.
Yeah, and I mean, you didn't learn certain information until you got to a certain degree.
That's just
certain
like...
mystical information.
So the Gardnerian witch, in the way you put that, is basically how they portray witchcraft on TV, basically.
Yes.
As like a cult, and as
yeah.
You all look up to a higher person, and...
Yeah, you have a high priest and a high priestess, yes. And the coven is very strict and very...
Alright, well, that's interesting to know, but next, why don't you tell us about the Hellenistic tradition, Obsidia?
Okay, so this is the ancient Greek tradition, which I happen to really dig. The Pharmakist, which is the Greek witch, worked with herbs, medicines, and poisons.
Herbs,
medicines, and poisons. The witches were both male and female. Many traditions worked with Hecate, who was witch of the crossroads, magic, ghosts, and the moon. Many witches identified with Medea, who had the gift of prophecy. And the modern perception of Greek witchcraft, malevolent, with practitioners causing harm using the evil eye. So if you are a modern Greek witch, you go around giving people the evil eye. And you know what we're talking about, right?
The evil eye, yeah.
The blue eye with the white, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You go around giving that, yeah, I'm going to give you the evil eye.
You know, I know a witch that uses it. I don't know if she uses an evil eye, but she has one.
I think you can wear them for protection against the actual evil eye.
All right, well, maybe that's what she's got it for then.
Yeah.
I think or at least she used to. I don't know if she still has it, but she used to. And I was actually the one that bought it for her just because I thought she would like the way it looked.
Yeah.
I honestly didn't really know what it was for a very long time.
Yeah. I think I think that purpose is to wear one of those or have one of those as to ward off the actual evil eye that you would give somebody if you didn't like them very much.
I don't know why, but I kind of want to crochet one.
That would be kind of cool.
That would be cool.
Crochet one, stick it on your door.
Would it still technically have the same effect?
If you put your protection...
intentions in it, yeah.
Yeah, intentions are everything. You put your intentions into it and it'll take form.
Put your intentions into a tennis ball, it'll protect you from the evil eye.
Oh, okay, I have other...
Someone giving you the evil eye, you eat it at him, there you go.
Right.
I was going to say, I'm like, I had other plans for that tennis ball.
Okay, so the Nordic tradition. Why don't you tell us about that, Dimitri?
So the Nordic tradition is traditional witchcraft practice in North and Germanic tribal societies. It was mainly done in Europe during the Iron Age and associated with Odin and Freya, Many Nordic females are...
Augury.
Augury. I said it right the first time, like, yeah, earlier
did.
Tonight.
You did.
But most of them are augury witches.
Right. So, we all know about the Norse, right? We got, we got Thor, we got Loki. I mean, you guys watch the movies. You know.
Right.
I read the comic books.
Oh yeah, my god.
Those are so real. Those are so real. I'll tell you all you need to know about it.
I mean, it got me enough.
You could pass for, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
No. Anyway, the Norse tradition is a very rich tradition.
It's one of those the Viking ancient
tradition,
ones.
And it's a Viking tradition. It's actually very interesting if you're ever interested to look it up. It's actually really cool. So.
All right. Well, another very common tradition is the Romanic tradition, which is the ancient Roman tradition. It is not to be confused with the Romani or the
Romani.
Romani. All right. It is not to be confused with the Romani or the Gypsy magical practitioners. They work through animal spirit intermediaries.
Intermediaries.
They work through animal spirit intermediaries, with primarily owl familiars. The owl familiars are bringers of wisdom, revealers of secrets and omens, and bestower of intuition and clairvoyance. Also, their magic will usually reflect the powers of the animals that they're working through.
So this is the ancient Romans. That's pretty flippin' cool.
Hey, you know what? My D&D character kind of sounds like that, working with the animals and using their magic.
Yes, my children are nerds. Thank you.
My D&D character is very much part of the dragon tradition, just because they are one.
Okay, moving on. We're not going there. The Hecatene Scottish tradition preserves unique rituals of the Scots. It's more a solitary practice, and it's very secretive, and it's mirrored by the Wiccan Caledonie movement. I have never heard of the Wiccan Caledonie movement, but I'm very interested, and I might just go have to look that up.
I might have to look that up as well. All right. Well, moving on. We have the Pictish or the Scottish tradition. So
this is your typical Scottish tradition, though.
Right. So the Pictish traditions are the ancient tradition from Scotland. They're usually solitary witches in the form of the craft, and they work with nature elements, herbs, and seership.
Herbs.
They attune to all aspects of nature, including animal, vegetable, minerals, and they are more magical than religious, and they rarely work in groups or covens.
Right.
These are your little cottage witches.
Yep, pretty much. And Hansel and Gretel go. No, just kidding. So the Slavic Russian tradition, tell us about that.
Well, they are a very realistic part of life with no link to the devil or demonology. Anyone can learn witchcraft with proper teaching, forms of riddles that...
initiate?
Thank you. That the initiate must solve. Possesses ability to astral travel, falls in and out of trance-like states, and observes three canons during ritual. Nudity, silence, and not looking back after conclusion.
Naked forest witch.
So pretty much... See, I can't, because I still think of Russia as like a desolate place, and now I'm just imagining a naked witch in the middle of winter.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's other Slavic regions as well. But they do practice...
little papushkas.
And this is not a very good time for us to be friendly about this, but they do practice in skyclad, and the silence, I believe, is... they don't talk about their magic, especially afterwards. That's a big thing. I mean, if you are doing a spell, you don't talk about it afterwards. Because then you're taking power away from it.
That's kind of like birthday wishes.
Silence is power.
That's right. And then not looking back after your spell?
Move on. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Exactly.
Dwelling on it is not going to change it.
Right. So I think a lot of other traditions have gathered some... important points from this.
All right, that's pretty cool. Next we have the Strigeria, or the Italian tradition. Dimitri, do you want to tell us about this one since you're Italian, or do you want me to do it?
Look, I can try. It just probably won't be correct. So I'll actually let you do this, and I'll laugh at you if you're wrong. Lovingly.
All right, well, the Strykeria is an archaic word for witchcraft. The witches are called Strykei. The Stryga are female, and the Strygon are male. They're based on appreciation of wisdom and beauty, and they are the collection of practices descendant from the native Italian or Sicilian regions.
Which would still be me.
Well, alrighty then.
He takes a lot of pride in being Italian.
I do.
Either you're Italian or you're a dragon, now come on.
Look, I can be both. He really likes pasta.
Too bad you don't know how to cook it.
Okay, so, the Teutonic, or the Germanic traditions, are a group that speaks Germanic group of languages, such as the English, Dutch, Icelandic, Danish, Norwegian, and the Swedish, and they find inspiration in myths and legends of god and goddesses of the homeland where each dialect originated. So you've got your English that have their mythologies, you've got your Danish that have their mythologies, Norwegian, you know. So it's basically any tradition that speaks that group of languages.
Right.
It's kind of like a catch-all term.
You know, I think German is a very...
Sorry.
German is a very interesting language, and one of my favorite quotes came from a meme I saw once, and it says, tell the people you love that you love them, but do it in German because it's angry and confusing. All right, well, Dimitri, take it away with the Welsh traditions.
I don't think I'm the right one for this. Anyway, so traditional magic and spiritual beliefs stem from Wales. Hence for why it's the Welsh traditions. They overlap with Celtic and Scottish. They have power placed on the wise man or woman. They are connected to healing, believe themselves to be one of the oldest traditions, and sometimes confined to certain families. Members become awakened to calling, and they must pass through 9 levels of attainment. Theoretically, hereditarily, but can be adopted into tradition. So
it sounds pretty intense to be a Welsh witch.
Yeah.
It really does.
No thank you, to be honest. No thanks.
Also, I don't know, maybe they got some secrets going on in there.
This is very pure blood of Harry Potter.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Maybe Hermione was Welsh.
You know, maybe.
Maybe she just didn't know it.
All right, okay. Well, the Welsh wraps up the rest of our traditions, and I think that's all we've got for you today. We have more. Oh, I did want to go back to me being a hearth witch. One thing that I think probably rooted that for me, and I was just thinking about that, is Hestia is the Roman goddess of the hearth. And when I was in 6th grade, we were told to do a project about a Roman god or goddess. And I just chose Hestia. I thought she was the most interesting. So I think that's kind of interesting to see that later on.
Yeah, what do you know? That's pretty cool.
I had to do mine on Greek, and I chose Hades.
That's not surprising.
No, it's not.
But I meant that's not all we have for you today. I meant that at the end of every episode, at least for a while, we're going to pull an excerpt from the Practical Witches 2022 Almanac 25th Anniversary Edition. These will be fun, interesting, and informative for new and experienced witches alike. We'll cover things like circle casting, upcoming moon or sun events such as eclipses, zodiac facts, and much more. Today we're going to start with step 1 of a 3-part exercise on visualization. This will be for beginner and experienced witches alike. There's 3 exercises, and this will help you to start visualizing, which is a very important talent to have when working with magic.
All right, so Pan here, I'm going to read exercise 1 for you guys. So to start, close your eyes and try to visualize the color red filling all of your inner vision. Think about red and see red. This may take some time, but be patient and keep working on it. Try this several times throughout your day, and especially before bed, until you can easily accomplish the single color visualization. If you find it difficult to do this, don't get frustrated. Each time you attempt this exercise, you are developing your skills one day, and you will find out that it is so simple for you to accomplish this visualization that you'll wonder how it was ever so challenging. You can also try different colors, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, or violet. You might find one color is easier to see than others. You may also discover that it is easier for you to do this visualization at certain times of the day or night. during different moon phases, or during different personal moods.
So there you have it. Many paths and traditions of the witches. Obsidia, seems like we've had a lot of good info on today's episode.
Yeah, I know. I happened to learn a lot.
I'm glad you did, guys. Hopefully our audience did too. Maybe some of you found a path or tradition that you feel you can identify with. So that's all for today's episode. Join us next week as we continue our Beginner Witch series with an episode you've all been waiting for, spells. We'll talk about the basics of spells, how to construct your own, how to modify existing spells, and how to know which spell is right for your intentions. We can't wait to dig into that. We'll be here on your favorite podcast platform, so we'll catch you later down on our same path. But for now, hail and farewell.
Hail and farewell.
Join Desert Jen and Obsidia Musette Sage next time on Crones of the Wild Wasteland as we chronicle the ways of the witches.
Care for yourselves and one another. Keep the strengths of the witches close to your heart and spirit. By the powers of the North, West, South, and East, we bid you hail and farewell.